James chapter 1, verse 27 reminds us what true Christianity is, what it looks like. It tells us that we are to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to also keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Again, the Church of Jesus Christ has a responsibility to care for the needy, those who are fatherless, those who are widows. Last Wednesday, we began a study of the care of widows in the church, and we looked at from chapter 5, verses 3 through 8, where we are first told that it is the responsibility of the church to care for widows. Notice verse 3, honor widows. The church is to show respect, care, give support to the widows within its congregation. But then secondly, the church is to care for widows who are truly widows indeed. We see that as well in verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed, meaning the church is to care for widows that are truly worthy, who truly qualify, so to speak, for support. And we said there are four criteria for determining what widows the church is to support. Those who are truly needy. Criteria number one, the church supports widows who have no family. Verse 5 uses the word desolate. Now, she that is a widow, indeed, and desolate. And that word simply means one who is alone, by herself. No one around to help her. And then criteria number two, the widow must be a believer. Verse 5 goes on to say that she trusteth in God. Her hope, her faith is in the living God. Criteria number 3, the widow must not only be a believer, but be a godly believer, a practicing Christian. Verse 4, she trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. Verse 5, I should say. She's one that believes not only in Christ to be her Savior, but she has a practical daily walk with the Lord. She believes in prayer. She's dependent upon God. And then the fourth criterion, a widow must be above reproach. Verse 6 tells us she is not following a worldly lifestyle. Verse 6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And so Paul, in verses 3 through 8, discusses the church's service, its care to widows. And now this evening in verses 9 through 15, Paul explains the widow's service to the church. I think that's so neat. Paul first deals with the church's service to widows, and then widows are to turn around and serve those who are serving them. And isn't that Christianity? Christianity is not just a one-way street. As you're ministered to, you need to minister in return. And so we have 2 points here under our study tonight. We have the qualifications of widows authorized to serve the church. And then we have point number 2, how these widows can specifically serve the church. Paul states in verses 9 and 10 that the widows who are eligible to serve in more or less official capacity, every widow can serve, okay? I mean, we all are to serve the Lord. But here we're talking about someone maybe in a more official role in the body of Christ. Paul says that that widow first must be over 60 years of age. Notice verse 9, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years. And the idea here is that younger widows are still desiring perhaps to remarry. If you're going to put a widow in maybe charge of a particular ministry, there needs to be commitment to that ministry, not a divided heart. In other words, their commitment is to be 100%. And then second, these widows must have been the wife of one man. We see that at the end of verse 9, having been the wife of one man. The idea here is when these widows were married, they had honorable marriages, marriages which would make them proper role models for the younger women to follow. You know, it's wonderful when you're ministering to other widows, other younger women, that you can say, you know, God gave me a good marriage. And if God can give me a good marriage, God can give you a good marriage. And then third, these serving widows had a reputation for good works, which we see in verse 10. We see in this verse, it elaborates on the nature of those good works. First of all, well reported for good works if she have brought up children. The idea here is this: she spiritually nourished her children. She was a godly mother. And then if she have lodged strangers, she sacrificially opened her heart and home to strangers as well as friends and family. If she have washed the saints' feet, which shows a humble servant's heart. John 13:14 shows that Jesus wants each of us to have a humble servant's heart. If I, your Lord Master, have washed your feet, Jesus said, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Some churches practice foot washing. We don't do that here at Westside, but certainly if someone washed someone else's feet and they did that because they loved that person, they cared for that person, it would certainly take a humble heart, a servant's heart, to do that. Let me ask you this, rather than wash someone else's feet, can you think of an example of something that would require humility to do for someone else? Cleaning someone's bathroom? Cleaning a bathroom in the church? How many of you have ever washed someone else's feet in a spiritual sense? Watching someone else's sick, ill child, prepare a meal. And then besides being a godly mother, lodging strangers, washing someone else's feet, next, if she have relieved the afflicted. And here's the idea of giving financial assistance, financial help. Then if she have diligently followed every good work. And the point here is this godly widow energetically and diligently gave herself to pursue good works. In other words, she did it with her heart. It wasn't just, oh, I got to do this, or boy, people are depending on me, so I need to come through. In other words, she truly was faithful she gave her heart in service for the Lord. And the application here is such good works should not only mark women who have become widows and now want to serve in the church, but it should also be recognized as the standard for every Christian man and woman to follow. Amen? Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Widows can be a pattern of good works and an example to all of us. So again, if she should be a widow, she will then be qualified, but then in the meantime, she will gain a reputation as a virtuous woman, as a lady of excellence. What a profound impact such godly women can have on the world around them. Again, well reported of. Think about that. Well reported of. Verse 10. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Which brings us now to point number two. How can these older godly widows specifically, and obviously we've talked about serving already in the church, but what does Paul say here that a widow can do in her service, a qualified widow can do in her service for other women in the church? Well, one thing she can do is to mentor younger women, and specifically, they are to instruct the younger widows to be married. Verse 11, but the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, when they have turned against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. What Paul is telling us here, it's very difficult for younger widows to remain single and stay true to the Lord and His calling on their lives. How do they stay true to the Lord? How do they stay true to God's call on their lives? And I'm not saying it, and I hope Paul wasn't thinking this either, that someone who's a widow who's younger cannot faithfully serve the Lord. But I think the tendency is for them to be led in another direction as far as their service, their faithfulness to the Lord and to the work of the ministry. And so remarriage for these widows is a healthy and beneficial thing. It's a needful thing. And so again, the older widows are to encourage, and the Greek carries the idea of the force of a command, these younger widows to remarry. To me, it's a difficult subject to talk about. I'm being very candid with you here. This is some tough stuff. And I think whenever you're dealing with people who have lost a spouse, there are wounds there. There are emotional wounds there. By remarrying, resuming their role in the home, then they can give, verse 14, the enemy no occasion for bringing reproach on the cause of Christ. Let's turn just briefly to Titus chapter 2. And here we find what older women, we could insert older widows, older women, older widows, what are they to teach as far as young women are concerned? Notice verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. God wants these younger women to be keepers. Their primary responsibility is to be keepers at home, to raise a godly generation. And then verse 16 of 1 Timothy 5, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. What is Paul saying here? Paul, in essence, is restating the truth that he has already been taught in verses 4 and 8, that widows indeed are to be taken care of, and when there is no family to do so, godly men and women in the church, we're talking about those with some means, are to take the lead in carrying out, ministering to this needy responsibility. Closing, please understand, helping widows brings the promise of blessing from God. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 29 says this, and the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger and the fatherless and widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. So we see here that God blessed the Israelites when they cared for the fatherless, the widow, the Levites. In other words, they gave of their resources to help minister, to help serve, to provide for these people. God blessed them. But on the other hand, failing to do so brings God's judgment. Deuteronomy 27:19, cursed is he that perverteth or distorts the justice due an alien, an orphan, and a widow. Well, what can we say as we wrap this study up? God has a special love for widows. And that love is reflected in the care that they are to receive from you and me, from the body of Christ, the church. We need the blessings God gives to those churches who care for widows. And so let me ask, does the world, does the church in general value all the blessings a widow can contribute? We are to serve widows, and widows are to serve the body of Christ. And what a blessing a godly widow is to the body of Christ.